Well, I have a friend who is new-ish in town, recently had a milestone birthday, turned 50 years old, and for his birthday, he invited my family and others to a very nice restaurant in town, downtown, and he encouraged us to order whatever you want from the menu. And so we did. And we ate good, and we had good company, and over the course of that meal, my friend spoke words of encouragement into everybody who was seated around the table. And we in turn did the same for him, although that's not why he did it. He did it because he loves us. And he is that generous. And that is not the first time I've experienced generosity from my friend. Wasn't the last. He's been generous with his home, generous with his time, generous with his words of encouragement and affirmation, generous with other meals, and I'm so thankful. And I asked him once, where does that come from? And I know a little bit of his backstory, but I know also that when he was 17, something clicked for him, and that's where it came from. The gospel slammed into his soul the love of Christ, and it compels him to be generous with God's love, with the gospel, with everything he has. That's what compels him, the love of Jesus Christ in all things, at all times, in all ways. Church, this morning, it is Commitment Sunday, the height of our stewardship season. We're talking about money. Don't everybody clap at once. But our goal today is very simple, to be a generous people, because our God is a generous God. And if we are to be like him, and it's easier said, it's easier done than said, because he lives inside of us, then we can be a generous people with the gospel. And that shapes everything, and that's really the point of this morning's message. We talk a lot in here about paying attention to God in this gathering, whether it's from our prayers or the scriptures or the testimonies or the words that we say, speak, or sing. Everything we do is to heighten our awareness to what God is doing in this moment, because what we experience and feel here just might follow us out there into the rest of the world. And when we scatter as a people generous with the gospel, we want to pay attention to where God is and what he's doing and how he is doing. This gathering is like practice. And when we leave this place until the time we come back next week, it's game on. Practice, this gathering is so important. And so this morning, let's pay attention to the things that have already happened, the things that God will do, the things that will happen, and especially the things that are here in this text, starting with verse 6. And I'll just say that as I got into this text this week, and I'm looking at books and commentaries and seeing notes and thinking, this is very familiar. I realized I preached this sermon 2 years ago. Let me rephrase that. Preached this text 2 weeks ago. I did not just dust it off and re-preach. It's different. I thought, well, if you don't remember, if I don't remember, you won't remember. And so the Lord is doing a new thing, and I trust that he is speaking. But in verse 6, there are several things that stand out to me, and I want us to pay attention to these three verses. First of all, we are a people who sow seeds, and that word is used twice in this verse. And the rule is, we will reap what we sow. That word is also used twice, and it means to gather or glean, to collect all that we sow. To sow means to cast seed on or into the ground. To reap means to gather and glean the fruit. Now, if there is future growth, since there will be future growth, there is work to do. If there was a harvest this morning here in Tyler, Texas, Marvin Methodist Church, core worship, are we ready? Do we have the support systems and structures in place to do with that harvest what God is wanting us to do with the people, the souls, the lives, whatever it is? That preparation in and of itself is stewardship. We are a people who sow and reap generously. That Greek word is also used twice, and it sounds like eulogia in the Greek. Sounds like eulogy in our English, which means those things we say or speak about someone who is deceased. And I don't know about you, but I've been to enough funerals, not even officiating them, been to where it looks like they're struggling hard to say something good about the deceased. That's something else we are stewarding over. Our life, our legacy, and not so things will be said that are nice about us, but we are a people who sow generously. We're also a people who sow sparingly. And that is not a slight on anyone or anything. It is just truth. This verse is not formulaic. It is not scriptural justification for health, wealth, and prosperity. The reaping is spiritual. And the intended meaning from this verse is the one who plants a few seeds will have a small crop. The one who plants liberally, generously, bountifully will have a great harvest, a large crop. And those are just principles of farming. It's just math. The intended meaning of this verse is the one who plants a few seeds will make a small harvest. The one who sows generously, they'll have, I just said that. But it's on all of us to sow seed and to steward well over what we have. And if we have more, we will sow more. And that's not surprising. It's just the way it is. In fact, financially speaking, with respect to our investments, there are no guarantees. When we invest our financial resources in stocks and bonds, there is the potential for growth, but there is no guarantee. That's what's missing from this verse, that word, potential. The Apostle Paul is talking about something that is guaranteed. It's not just wishful thinking, it is fact. If we are faithful to sow seed, there will be a harvest. Whether we sow a little or whether we sow a lot, we may not ever see it, but we sow what we've got and we sow everywhere we can all the time. Now, as we consider these verses in their context, we see that Paul is talking about financial stewardship. 2 weeks ago, we started this series and the heading over chapter eight, says, the collection for the Lord's people. Last week we took a break and my friend Craig Garrison preached the gospel, which is the most important thing we are stewards over. And this morning, the heading over what was read says, generosity encouraged. For those who are in Christ, generosity is a way of life. It is a rule, and it does pertain to all things, but clearly in this morning's text and in this series, Paul is talking about giving to support the Lord's work. And his instruction here is that each one of us should give intentionally, decidedly. Pray about what you should give, not if you should give. Talk to God. Talk with your family, make a decision, and let your giving be from the overflow of your heart as a response to God's grace. Not reluctantly, not begrudgingly, or under compulsion. None of us should feel forced to give. But know this, God loves it when we give. In fact, it's better to say that God delights in a people who love to give because it's God-like. And we're giving as a response to his love because of who he is and what he's done. And here is the beautiful, mysterious truth. God is able. That word is just like dynamite, explosively powerful. God is that able to bless you and me, to bless us abundantly, plentifully. And we're talking everything you need, that's his grace. God has good plans, good things, good works in store for us. He is all generous to us so that he can be all generous through us, both material and spiritual. The Apostle Paul is talking about material blessings and the spiritual motivation to share those blessings. God is able to bless you abundantly. And in this scripture, that you is singular. There are times when he's talking to the church, but he's talking to us as individuals now, to bless us in all things, at all times, having all that you need. And there's a play on words here in the original language that's lost on us, which literally says, in all, always, all. Paul's making a big deal about that superlative all. And I know you know what that word means. All means all. By God's grace, he sufficiently supplies everything we need so that we might be prolific. That's 2 weeks ago. Abound in, we are a prolific people in every good work. And now Paul is landing the plane. Every good work. This whole section of scripture is talking about giving to support the Lord's work, spreading scriptural holiness across the land, the whole gospel. Christ died, raised from the dead, ascended into heaven, went from being someone on the outside to the one on the inside of those individuals who repent and receive this gift, spreading the whole gospel for the whole world. But the beauty is this, we have a part to play. We're invited into all of God's story that he's writing even today. And it does involve giving to support the Lord's work, but in some mysterious way, it affects our living. And I think that's because there's some reason we think in our heads about control, what we make, planning for the future. I'm gonna control, and we wanna steward over all of it. When we give that up, when we let go of that, God begins to live and flow in our living of our lives. That's what we're after. Every good work. Stewardship is whole life. How we steward over all things reflects how we steward over the gospel, from our financial resources to our bodies, the faith formation of our children, our time and attention, the things we give our eyes and our minds to. As we steward over all things, it shapes and forms opportunity for the gospel to flow. God's grace empowers us to abound in every good work. And our overflow of good works is the fruit of God's generosity. God's grace empowers generosity. And that generosity, which is all of life, directs glory to God. That's the goal. That's what we are after here in this place. And so I want to remind you that this morning it is Commitment Sunday. And earlier in the month, you were mailed covenant cards. And there are plenty around our campus and plenty throughout the room. And each of you should give what you decide to give in your heart. And that is an individual or familial decision. And here's the truth. We have a mission, we have a vision here at this church. We have an experience that we're stewarding over. We need to discern, Lord, are we in line with that? Lord, how are we doing? Do we want to give to support the mission and vision? What God is doing here in Core Worship, Marvin Methodist Church. As we chew on that, as we've been praying over that, it's on us to make a decision. And let me say a few things. Our goal is 100% participation from every person, especially member, who calls this church home. If you're a guest with us, especially if this is your first Sunday, la, 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 you can just tune us out. But if this is your church home, our goal is every participation, 100% all in, all of us. And yeah, that's reflected in a pledge commitment that we'll bring to the altar in just a moment. It's also reflected in the things that we give throughout the year. And so your covenant card is an estimate of giving for the next year, and it helps us plan. It helps us make decisions with respect to what we think we can do with our ministry and our budget. It's very practical. We're looking ahead towards 2026. And then the third thing I'll say is the Bible talks about the standard of giving, and in particular, the Old Testament talks about the standard of giving being 10%. And I know that for some of us, that sounds like a lot. I have a friend who once gave a testimony that she and her husband give 10% out of their income. It's just because it's simple math. Move a decimal and there you go. Lord, this is what we're giving. But sometimes I wonder if 10% is the standard. And this is what I mean by that. In the Old Testament, there was the Levitical tithe. And that went to the priests and the temple. 10%. It supported the Levites. It was given annually. And then there was also the festival tithe. That's found in Deuteronomy 14, 22 through 27. The Levitical tithe, Numbers 18. The festival tithe, Deuteronomy 14, and that supported worship and celebration, and it too was given annually. Then there's also the poor tithe, which provided for the poor and the vulnerable, and it was given, Deuteronomy 14, 28, every 3 years. And so there's 10% and 10% and 10 divided by 3. That's 23%, if my math is correct, that the people of God gave on an annual basis to support the work of God. And there are recent scholars who are talking this way, and I've heard friends who are stewardship consultants talk this way as well. In the New Testament, Jesus talked about the tithe, but really when he talked about it, he was exposing the Pharisees and calling out their legalism, Luke chapter 11. And I think the New Testament is less concerned with percentage of our giving and more concerned with the posture of our heart in response to God's grace. It's what one pastor called the reciprocity of grace, where God's grace and human generosity lead to God's glory. When our nothing meets God's everything, that leads to something. God's grace and our generosity leads to God's glory, and that is what we're after. Giving is our way of participating in God's divine economy of abundance. And here is the root that supports that thought. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that through his poverty we might become rich. And if the gospel slammed into your soul, we've got everything we need. Christ's self-giving is the new measure of generosity. It's the standard. It's no longer, well, how much do I have to give? But how much of myself can I offer in response to God's grace? That is exactly what marked this movement that we are a part of. And Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 4, where the early church shared everything they had. They sold property, viewed their possessions as communal assets. Their giving was voluntary and it was joyful. Their giving was led by the Holy Spirit, and that is our DNA. What's true for the early church is also true for us, and so I want you to hear this. The tithe is not the ceiling. The tithe is the floor of our giving. Like the training wheels of generosity, the place to start. The tithe teaches discipline and trust, and grace expands that to devotion and joy. Under the old covenant, 10% was obedience. Under the new covenant, 100% is stewardship. And this is what I know. If this room gave like the scriptures is inviting us to give, we who are here now could carry Marvin's budget. And I'm not just saying that to you. I said it at 8:30 and I would tell the sanctuary too. If we gave like God is inviting us, we could carry Marvin's budget. But the greater truth and what we're really after is the blessing that we would experience because of our giving. And I'm not talking, if you give, God's gonna give it back and multiply. I'm talking about eyes that see, because we're letting go of everything. A heightened awareness of what God is doing in the world today. And that's why we long for a heightened awareness of what God is doing here in this space. Y'all, we give generously out of what we have so that we might be prolific in every good work. That's who we are. That's core worship, Marvin Methodist Church, what God is doing here. We're talking experiential blessing, spiritual blessing, positional blessing in the scattering. Think about the spiritual impact of giving out of that overflow of God's grace, giving out of our abundance of that kind of sacrifice in all of life. My friend who, when he moved here, prior to that, walked into someone he was doing business with and felt the compulsion to pray for that person. And he was obedient in that moment. There's a beautiful friendship that has blossomed because of that obedience. I have other friends who, at work, they're not clanging gongs or banging cymbals. They are steady about their faith being the faithful presence of God's love in that place. And when a coworker needed prayer, they didn't ask the clanging gong, banging cymbal. They asked that person. I have another friend who's seminary trained and been on staff at a church, but stepped away from that and is a home builder in the area. And he's leading his business like Jesus would lead it. And he's pouring into the people who work for him. I have a holy envy over some of these. Over the places that you go week in and week out, whether it's the golf course, whether it's the theater, where you are positioned and how you are being faithful with the gospel, that's what we're after. And in some mysterious way, how we give, relinquishing the thing that we think we can control the most, man, it opens up doors, it opens up opportunity for every good work. And that's who you are. That's who we are. So Lord, I pray that you would move mightily in our midst. Move in such a way that is so familiar that when we catch a whiff of you out there, we might be like, what are you doing here in this moment? God, I pray that the gospel would slam into our souls, that you would wake us up, that we might live into our identity as the people of God. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Pray that with me. Come, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen.